Welcome back to our study of Judges. We are in chapter 9, and I want to start out with a test question review for you. Who killed his own brothers for the purpose of gaining position? Abimelech, that's right. Abimelech killed his own brothers for the purpose of gaining position. So we read about that, and then we read about the one brother who escaped, Jotham. And you'll remember he went to Mount Gerizim, and he spoke to the people from the top of the mount there. And we were reading a parable about what Jotham spoke. You remember we talked about the olive tree, the trees asking the olive tree to reign over them, and the olive tree said no. And the next tree they asked was the fig tree.
And so what I want you to see is how in the parable, even the trees know what they're called to do. Okay? And so the fig tree, when the fig tree is asked to reign, obviously this is parable, okay? He said, am I to forsake my sweetness and my good fruit to be promoted over the trees? In other words, am I supposed to stop doing what I am created to do to gain a position? And I'm going to tell you, there's a powerful truth in all this if you follow it. And then from the fig tree, they go to the vine. Ask the vine to rule over them. And the vine says, you know, I know what my purpose is. My purpose is to produce grapes, right? And so I can't leave my purpose. I can't leave what I'm supposed to do, producing grapes, wine, and to go rule and reign. They knew their purpose. So then they go to the bramble, briar, and say, you rule over us. And he says, all right, if you anoint me as king over you and you put your trust in me, if not, and let fire come out from the bramble and consume you. Okay? Now, am I ahead of you?
No, sir.
Okay. So note that this is what Jotham is saying because of the agreement that the men of Shechem have made with Abimelech. And so they're asking, Abimelech is compared to the bramble. Briar. Okay. And so this briar is wanting to rule, all right? I'm going to rule over you, and if you don't stay submitted to me, then fire is going to come out of me and devour you, okay? It's like a forceful thing. You better keep your word or I'll do something about it. And you might want to go on and read the rest of it.
Now, therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dwelt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you and adventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, and ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons, 70 persons, upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother.
Now here, what we just read, did they actually kill 70? He says, then you slew 70 sons, okay? And so that's where the jury's out. You know, is it 69 or is it 70? And generally, you're speaking of the number of sons. So I'll let you determine that. I'm not telling you I have divine revelation on it, okay? But here's the point. What Jotham is saying is if you've done right in killing the man's sons who risk his life to save you, and you've done right by placing Abimelech as king over you, then fine. But if not, then may there be such a dissension between you that you're going to be against him and he's going to be against you. And you're going to work at destroying one another, okay? That's my paraphrase of it, okay?
And you have had, and if, excuse me, if you then have dwelt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech.
So there's a hostility. In other words, if this is not right, then may this turn into hostility between you and Abimelech, between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, okay? And then he does what he needed to do after he said all this. He ran away, okay?
Yeah. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother.
Obviously he ran away so he wouldn't get killed, okay?
When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dwelt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren.
So, you're seeing what Jotham said, you start seeing it come to pass, okay? He's spoken this. If this was right, then fine. If it's not right, then let there be a contention and a hostility come between them, and that's exactly what's going on. Now they're working against one another.
And the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him in the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren, and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields, and gathered their vineyards, and trod the grapes, and made merry, and went into the house of their God, and did eat and drink, and cursed Abimelech.
So here you have someone else looking for power, okay, Gaal here. And so they go out, and what are they doing? They're partying. They get drunk, and then they start, cursing Abimelech, you know. This thing's building, and it'll reach a crescendo, okay?
And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech, and who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zebul, his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand, then I would remove Abimelech." And he said to Abimelech, "Increase thy army and come out."
So now we have a power play. You know, Abimelech seeking power, he got into the place of power. Now you have people seeking power. He makes his boast, you know, just who is it? Just let him come out. We'll whip him. You understand?
And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privily, saying, "Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortified the city against thee. Now, therefore, up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and set upon the city, and behold, when he heard the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as thou shalt find occasion."
So you've got a guy here in the city, this leader in the city, that is not appreciating what Gaal is saying. And so he secretly sends word to Abimelech that Gaal's in here making his boast of what he's going to do to you. And so this is what I recommend for you to do. You gather your army and you come out against him and do whatever you want to do, okay?
And Abimelech rose up and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And Abimelech rose up and the people that were with him from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains." And Zebul said unto him, "Thou seest the shadow of the mountains, as if it were a man, as if it were men." And Gaal spoke again and said, "See, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Meonium." Then said Zebul unto him, "Where is now thy mouth, wherewith thou saidest, 'Who is Abimelech, that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hadst despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them.'" And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech.
Basically, here's what he's saying. You know, Abimelech has followed the advice of this leader of the city, and he's brought his armies out there. And so that morning they start coming down, and Gaal said, "I see people coming down the side mountain. You're just seeing the trees move." Mm. "Now I'm seeing people come down. All right, then put up or shut up. You've been talking. Now let's see if you can back up what your mouth says. You know, now you go out and fight against him."
And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field, and looked. And behold, the people were come forth out against the city. And he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into a hold of the house of the god of Beeroth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech got him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, "What have you seen me do? Make haste and do as I have done." And all the people likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech and put them to hold and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women.
Okay. Now, we're seeing what Jotham said come to pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting thing to me. The leader of the city of Shechem is the one that leaks out the information about Gaal, and he advises Abimelech to come and fight against Gaal. Abimelech comes, and not only does he fight against armies Gaal, but it destroys the city that this guy's the leader of. It's amazing how you can put a knife to your own throat, you understand? And not only is he interested in defeating the armies, but he burns the city. So that word spoken by Jotham, the curse, if you will, came to pass.
Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. And there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all of the city, and shut it to them, and got them up to the top of the tower.
The tower, when it talks about the tower, like the Tower of Shechem, or here, the tower here at Thebez, this is a fortified place in the city. It's just the strongest place in the city that they're going to for safety. Okay?
And Abimelech came into the tower, and he fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man his armor-bearer, and said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, A woman slew me. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren.
You see, there's several times it says, slay his 70 brothers. His 70 brothers. It's almost, to me, it sounds like that he killed 70 and Jotham escaped. But I'll let you figure all that one out, okay? But the interesting thing here with Abimelech is he is so angry and power hungry, whatever. He's just trying to wipe everything out when he gets to Thebez and comes against their strong tower. It's a woman that throws the millstone rock upon his head and fractures his skull, evidently, and he realizes he's in dire straits, and he asks his armor bearer to just finish me off. I don't want anybody to say a woman killed me. But it's from one generation to another, hundreds of years later, we're still hearing how the woman threw the millstone on Abimelech's head. Abimelech was a wicked man. And so he got what was deserving. Justice was rendered to him. Just as he had destroyed people, he was destroyed. He destroyed innocent people.
And all the evil men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal.
So all the evil that the men of Shechem had done in putting Abimelech as their king, then God rendered that evil back on them, the thing that they wanted. You remember it was the men of Shechem he went to and said, make me your king. Mm-hmm. And then he ultimately destroyed the city, right? And then he gets killed in the end. And so both of them were losers.
Chapter 10. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamer in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamer.
Now, see, we don't have any information as to what Tola actually did as far as judging. Is he giving the counsel of God, or is he going against the enemy? We don't have a lot of detail with him. It's not like there was something major or significant that they recorded in history. We just know that he was in that position of judging Israel for 23 years.
And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities which are called Havoth-Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead.
So Tola was from Issachar. And then you get Jair, he's a Gileadite, okay, Gilead. And he judges Israel 22 years. Mm-hmm. He has a pretty large family there, 30 sons, rode on 30 ass colt. That's talking about prestige, wealth, okay. And they had 30 cities, and they called the Havoth Jair unto this day. And then Jair died and he was buried in Kama, right? So we don't know a whole lot about him as to what he was doing as a judge in Israel. Okay?
And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtoreth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him.
Isn't it amazing? They weren't settled on one god, like just serving Baal, for instance, but they serve Balaam, and they serve Ashtoreth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Zidon, Moab, the children of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines. They just... You know, Dagon, I know, was the god of the Philistines. They're just serving various gods and forget the Lord God, although God has given them deliverance from the enemy, and they seem to be very unappreciative of what God has done for them and don't follow him.
And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon.
Now, that just simply means that God withdrew his protection from them and allowed the Philistines and the children of Ammon to come against Israel and oppress them.
And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed.
So they got themselves in trouble. If you follow the gods, they can't protect you. So the Lord is not protecting them because they've withdrawn from the Lord.
You know, from our perspective, whenever we choose to go outside the Lord's covering, we're in the enemy's territory. That's the bottom line. And when you're in the enemy's territory, you're apt to get worn out.
You think about this. If you're not subjected to the kingdom of God, then what kingdom are you subjected to? It's going to be some kingdom of the world that's dominating your life. And so the protection's in the kingdom of God. The peace is in the kingdom of God. And so it would behoove us to get our attention on him, to be led by the Spirit of God, so the enemy doesn't have control of your life.
And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and also served Balaam." And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians, and from the Amorites, and from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand? Yet you have forsaken me, and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more."
All right, you wanted those other gods? Go for it. You don't want to serve me? You want to turn your back on me? Then don't cry out to me anymore. Cry out to the other gods that you're worshiping. See what they can do for you.
Our mom used to have a saying, "You made your bed, now lie in it." "Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day,
So they're crying out to God. This just shows you the mercy of God. God's not a God that holds a grudge. That's really is extremely incredible. They're saying, all right, basically we repent. You do whatever you think's right. You do what you go ahead and do what you want to do us, but deliver us.
And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said to one another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead."
So it's interesting here. You have your armies assembled on both sides. Israel has their armies assembled, but they don't have that that chief of staff, so to speak. They don't have the one that's calling the shots for all the armies together. Who can we find to go against? Now you see the compassion of God.
Yeah.
God's not wanting his people hurt. God wants his people blessed, yeah. But if you're walking in the curse, you're walking there voluntarily, and until you repent, then what do you expect God to do? So they had an act of repentance by putting away the gods. It wasn't just saying we repent, but they put away these idol gods that they'd been serving, and so they... You know, the armies come against them, so they muster their army, but we've got a problem. We need somebody to lead this army.
Chapter 11. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, "Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman."
So, Gideon, he, you know, went outside, and of course he has the son by a harlot, and he's not accepted, obviously, by the rest of the family, the rest of the sons, and they actually cast him out or put so much pressure on him, he has to flee from his brothers, and so he runs from them and lives in the land of Tob. I'm ahead of you.
That's
go
okay.
ahead. Read.
And they were gathered, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, "Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon."
So they see his leadership abilities as a military leader. Now, you know, we read earlier how the armies were gathered. You know, wars don't just start overnight. They build, okay? And so this, you know, you hear about Cold War and all this stuff. But now it's got to the point that the enemy is going to engage in battle with them. And so in somewhat of a panic almost, I suppose, they go to a guy that they know he has good military skills. And they ask him to lead them into battle and basically save us. You know, we're in trouble. And so he negotiates with them, okay?
And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, "Therefore, we turn again to thee now, that thou..." I'm sorry, verse 7. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, "Did not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore, we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, then shall I be your head. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words.
So it's interesting, they run him out. Then when they get in trouble, they want him to bail them out. The one they reject, they want him to bail them out. And so he said, why'd you come to me?
Yeah.
And so they humble themselves and make their plea for him to lead them. And he says, all right, if you bring me back into my homeland, okay, if you bring me back to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivers the children of Ammon into my hand, will I indeed be your head? And they said, yes, and the Lord's the witness of this, okay? And you let the Lord witness if we don't keep our word to you and make you the head over us. Now here again, remember, he's leading the army, but as the leader of the army, he's going to rule over the country, okay?
Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah.
Now that's interesting that Jephthah is talking to the Lord about this thing. Yet he's, from what I'm seeing by gathering vain men around him, he's probably not the most godly person in the world. You with me? But yet there is a fear of God. And I think we miss this so often. We're looking, these things are showing my battery's about out, so if the mic goes out, I'll switch them real quick, okay? We think that for God to use somebody, that they're supposed to be, you know, just righteous and just and holy. And you'll find all the way through the Bible that God used people that weren't righteous and just and holy. We're going to see that with Samson.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We see it with other people we've already looked at. But God raises up people who, with ability, like in this case, military skills and ability, to come to the rescue of the nation, to bring judgment against the enemy so the nation can be delivered. But even ungodly men can recognize that God is the creator, and just because he's ungodly doesn't mean he's worshiping an idol. He's just not following, may not follow God with his whole heart, but you're going to find that Jephthah actually talks to God and makes a vow to God and keeps the vow that he makes to God.
And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, What hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, Because Israel took away my land, when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon, even unto Jabbok, and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably.
So Jephthah, as the appointed leader of the nation, all right, so he tries to negotiate to begin with. Why are you coming against us? Well, if we're going to get this, no, this land is not yours. This land is ours. But they're not wanting to buy into all this, you understand? And so they'd rather go to war. I look at what's going on in Israel today. And, you know, the land God's given to Israel. Israel's just taking land back that God's given to them. You understand? But yet the enemy's coming in and saying that that's their land, when it's not their land at all. other people have been involved, and Israel, just by not following God, suffered some consequences as well. Okay, just keep these things in mind.
Verse 14, and Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon, and said unto him, Thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh.
In other words, Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God told them that he wasn't giving them the land of Moab, that he wasn't leaving them the land of Ammon. They were descendants of Lot, and so not to go in and engage them in battle. But when Israel was trying to get passage to go through to get to the promised land, the Moab, remember Balak, the king of Moab, and then hiring Balaam to curse the children of Israel, they came out against them. The Ammonites came out against them. But Israel didn't take their territory at that time. You with me? They didn't fight against them. And so there's accusations being made against Israel that aren't legitimate accusations. And so Jephthah is a pretty smart man, evidently. He knows his history, and right, he knows how to talk back and forth with the leaders of other nations, and he has enough courage to take his stand for the nation of Israel. And with that, we've been told our time's up, so we'll have to pick back up with this Thursday, I suppose, okay?
Okay.
I thank you that you bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great week.